Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, welcome in another edition of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. He's Bob Ryan. I'm Jeff Goodman. And, Bob, I got a little Montreal Expos shirt for you today.
Les Expos sont là. I love it. I love that shirt. That's great.
Your favorite Expos player of all time? Mine was Tim Raines.
Tim Raines. Well, I got to go back to Rusty. My first visit to Montreal ever was 1971. And, of course, we had to go to Parc Jarry. And the Grand Orange, as Rusty was known, welcomed us with a 3-1 bomb. And, I'll tell you what, though, as long as we're on the subject, I think it's such a shame what happened to that franchise. And the strike, there's no question that that killed the franchise. They sure were the best team in baseball that year. They had a 74-40 record on August 12th, 1994, when baseball stopped playing. And they had, and you just look at the players that they dispatched to other teams, you know, after that.
Yep.
And Andre Dawson crushed and them. John Wetland and on and on. And you know, they didn't have a good ballpark. The Stade Olympique is a terrible place. Anyway, I regret that. I wish they were still there. However, we're back to basketball. I got to say this. The first game Paul Silas ever played in a Celtic uniform after he was traded was an exhibition in the Montreal Forum.
Wow,
against
really?
The Bucks.
Interesting.
And that was, okay. Yeah. How about that? Now, there's a piece of trivia for the day.
That is.
You can wow them at any cocktail party with that one.
Nobody's going to know the answer to that one.
Now you know. You can drop that one in.
You and Paul Silas are the only two human beings on the planet that are going to know the answer.
I'll tell you what. He doesn't remember it. I'm sure I'm the only person on earth that knows this.
All right. So we had a series for a minute. We had an NBA final series for like – and I never believed we had a series, Bob. I didn't. I know people wanted to get excited that maybe the Heat could push them if they got Bam back and Dragic back. Well, Dragic is done. We see that now. The plantar fasciitis. Trust me, from somebody who knows, I've dealt with it since last December. It is unbearable. So Dragic is done. Bam comes back. But listen, the bottom line is the Lakers are just way too good with LeBron.
All right, let me just, that said, and I agree, it's 3-1 and they're going to win. But they're right in that game to the two minute mark, you know.
But there's a difference.
And finally, the last dagger was the 3-pointer by Davis, but that would put it to 9. But they were in the game and they weren't humiliated. It's not inconceivable they could still make it go 6. Remember, there's no home court.
But
there's
honestly, are you intrigued? Even if it goes 6, how intrigued are you? It just extends the season for us for one more game that we can watch.
And keeps them in the bubble for another day that everybody
that
wants.
Too.
And everybody wants to go home. We right. know that. Everybody, including the Heat, I'm sure, are getting to that point. No. You're right. We had that illusion of a series for the game. And the Lakers, when they came out with a 10-turnover first period, you kind of knew they weren't into it, right?
Yep.
But remember in that game, they've fought back from double-digit deficits twice to get it back in the game. And what they actually took a lead with 9 minutes to go on a Rondo drive, left-hand scoop off the glass. And the Heat pulled away and won the game. So the Lakers were in that game anyway. And just as the Heat was in that, were in that game yesterday. what do you say? I'm just thinking, looking at the Lakers.
I think you got to talk Jimmy Butler. I think Jimmy Butler is still, even though the Lakers are going to win this series, and that's certainly going to be the number one storyline coming out of the NBA, I guess. I mean, number one will be the Lakers winning. Won't number two be the Clippers underachieving?
I think so. And the sudden departure of Doc, and you know, we're going to get to Doc's latest destination eventually. But I think so. Because the Lakers Clippers were what everyone, you know, what the most neutrals were looking forward to. And there's no question there. Yeah, they did underachieve.
Has anybody boosted their stock more? We did this early on, and it was like, what, TJ Warren, Michael Porter Jr., they had boosted their stock. Remember those
Jamal
days?
Jamal Murray was the one.
Totally.
He went from nice player, regionally known, to, whoa, how good is this guy?
That's right.
And, you know, and we'll see how that materializes next year, you know, because I know it changed my opinion of him. I mean, I wasn't disrespectful. Yeah. I thought he was pretty good. But damn, you know, what we saw night in and night out, he was he elevated himself more than any individual. You know, Jokic was Jokic, you know. I mean, a lot of people had never seen that act before. You know, I call it an act. It's such a great act. And, you know, but Murray went way up. Early on, a guy, Devin Booker, but that's so far back, it's hard to remember.
It feels like last year. I mean, honestly, when we were talking about TJ Warren – Feels like a year ago. I mean, imagine what it's like for these players who have been in the bubble as long as they have from these two teams.
Think about the guys we talked to ourselves and how far back it was. And, you know, all our local guys that were in, and, you know, one of them still left, and, you know, Robinson. And, oh, yeah, no. but Butler's game in game three was really one of the great finals games ever. I've been watching them personally for 50 years. And casually for a little longer than that, and it's right up there. The number one, still the leader in the clubhouse, Jeff, for me, is Magic Johnson, 42-15-7 in a circumstance where we thought the series was absolutely going back to L.A., absolutely positively going back. Philly could not lose that game at home. Six, Kareem sitting home. He had been the MVP, by the way, for the first five games, and Magic played that game at age 20. In 1980, that's still the benchmark game individually that I've ever seen.
It should be. Yeah. I agree. Obviously, I haven't been covering it or been around it as long as you, but same for me. I mean, that's one that I'll always remember as a kid, and having watched it times after that. I mean, just a remarkable performance that you will never forget. Like, the Jimmy Butler performance is going to be still kind of a niche performance to some degree of people recalling that, because they're not going to win the series. What I do think Jimmy Butler has done is put himself in the equation. We did a top 10 list earlier this year, probably a month ago even, of the top 10 players in the NBA. Neither one of us had Jimmy Butler in the top 10. I think we both had him somewhere from 10 to 18, in that range.
Right.
Now, and it's always, hey, you know, listen, what have you done for me lately? Right. We always kind of, you know, you move, especially the guys from like 5 to 15. It's kind of, what have you done lately? Well, Jimmy Butler has certainly put himself in the equation where he's in that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 range, probably closer to 8 if you're ranking them today.
What impressed me the most about that game that I learned about him, and I've learned watching him throughout, wasn't that he could score because you know how much I love the idea that he got 40 points without taking a three. You know how much I love that. So he's now become my new favorite player, you know, just for that reason alone. That aside, the passes, I did not know he possessed that kind of creativity.
Nobody
had no idea.
Anybody who tells you this, I talked to Fred Hoiberg yesterday. Okay. Fred Hoiberg coached him in Chicago. It didn't go great, but Fred Hoiberg is like the easiest human being to play for ever. Kind of like Brad in a way.
Yeah.
And Fred said the same thing. He said, listen, I knew he could pass it, but I didn't know he could do this passing the ball.
Let him say that.
this was never his game. He's really, really developed in that regard more than anything, making guys better around him rather than just being a guy that can drive it and really guard.
Yeah, there were passes that any point guard in the league would be proud to call his own. Chris Paul would say, hey, that's pretty cool, you know? And I didn't know he had that in him. That's what really impressed me the most.
Do you think that he could have taken him to seven with a healthy Dragic and Bam, or no?
Well, I think the way Dragic was playing, and I believe if I were voting in the series, in the Celtics in that series, and it was an MVP, I would have given it to Dragic night in and night out. He was their most reliable player. Yep. They had some pyrotechnics from Bam. Bam had the great block in the great game. But Dragic was there every night with a solid 20 and double-double and big plays and
big shots.
You know, three-point shots, beautiful inside moves, everything. No, he's playing great.
And it's the beauty of this Miami team, really, Bob, is that you can kind of go down the line and almost argue. And now I think everybody would agree Jimmy Butler is their most valuable player, their best player. But Bam's pretty damn good. Oh. Dragic is really good. Tyler Hero has emerged as a guy that next year people are really going to be talking about. And, you know, he could take a big jump. Duncan Robinson, one of the elite three-point shooters. If they could add one more piece, or maybe that piece is Tyler Hero just taking that jump. I don't know. I mean, listen, the hard part is we're still looking at LeBron. Is he going to slow down at some point? Is age going to catch up with him to whereas the Lakers go from where they're here to where they kind of fall down a little bit? Or can LeBron do that, but Anthony Davis go up another notch?
Yeah, that I think is the possible answer to that. As far as the Heat are concerned, they're going to need to replace. But Iguodala is a short term component.
Yep.
You know, and God love him. I'm happy for him. But they're going to need to strengthen the bench. I mean, the rotation was last night was they played eight men. Played eight men last night. And I mean that's playoff basketball. I understand that. But he I don't figure him in. I'm not figuring him as part of the mix next year of any kind. I don't know, but I'm not.
Yeah, and Kendrick Nunn obviously wasn't in the regular season.
You know, we all know that Nunn had the great year, and then I got excited. I overreacted in game three game two. Yeah. I overreacted a game that was real, you know, game two, I mean. And, he's not fully ready to come back, but he was the starter. He was 2 for 11 last night, you know. And okay, but none, you know, they're well fixed with the youth, with Hero and Duncan and Robinson and none in that position for the future with Dragic.
Probably the favorite. They're the favorite in the East, aren't they? Next year, don't they have to be?
Yeah, you would say they did beat the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics, you know, I'd like if they played it all over again. You know, we might get a different result, but you know, that's that. The Celtics hopefully learn from their mistakes, and they need to shore up the bench. Danny's got to shore up the bench there. So anyway, yeah, but there's a good point about the Lakers and the regression factor, and the fact that there are people waiting in the wings in the West, like Denver, for example, and where the Clippers go from here, I don't know. You know, exactly, I'm not sure.
I got to find a coach first.
Got to get a coach first.
Ty Lue is certainly the name that gets brought up the most for that opening. But going back to the Lakers overall, what does this do for LeBron winning his fourth NBA title?
Yeah.
Now, three different teams. Does that put him how much closer to Michael does this?
One other thing, and I'm borrowing this from my colleague, Mike Lupica, I don't want to steal his thought. It's really four because his first Cleveland team has nothing to do with his second Cleveland team. Right. It's nothing. It's just him and no other relevant components. He dragged that first team in it as a kid. That's one of the most really. You know what that was like? Him taking that Cleveland team to the finals was like Larry Bird taking Indiana State to the NCAA championship game in 1979.
Well, their second best player, I think, on that team was Mo Williams, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Boobie Gibson.
Right. I mean, you look down at that roster. We're going to look down in 20 Z. years at that roster.
People forget Zydrunas Ilgauskas, right. Big Z.
Big Z.
That's the kind of players he dragged to the finals. They had no shot. But it, no. You know, it's like when Iverson dragged the Sixers to the final. Check out that roster someday.
Brutal.
Now, I'm not the biggest. If you want to make a case for how great Iverson is, and these people are kind of forgetting now, you know, and how difficult. Go look at the roster he dragged to the finals.
I remember.
Someday.
So, again, going back to my question, I'll pose it again.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
How much closer is LeBron to being the GOAT? Is he the GOAT if he wins number four?
The argument can be made, of course. It's going to – look, both sides are dug in. I think it's like our November 3rd election. I don't see how there are that many undecideds. I don't understand an undecided. I don't understand it. I totally can't comprehend an undecided at this point.
Because you don't live in the South. Well, they're not undecided either.
You don't know by now.
Right.
But anyway, I think that the sides are dug in on the GOAT, Michael versus LeBron. You know, Michael never lost the finals. Michael never even got to a seventh game, you know, in the finals. That's a remarkable thing. You know, Russell never lost a seventh game. Michael never got there. I mean, well, now Russell's extends his whole career division and everything, but never got there in the finals. I mean, that's how good Michael's teams were in this context. Okay, it's a singular feat. I mean, he's going to have something on his resume that none of the other guys in the pantheon, none of the other guys, the Mount Olympus residents. You know, I don't know how big you want to say the Mount Olympus condos are. How many condos are up there in basketball? Not, you know, 5, 6, 7, whatever. None of the others did it, you know, done what he's done. And so that it would be a tremendous feat and a tremendous argument. But, you know, you're not going to convince some people. He'll never outlive for some people what he did in Cleveland in 2010 against the Celtics, what he didn't do against the Mavericks in 11. And, you know, that's it. He's got to, you know, you got to, if you're making the argument for him, you got to live with that, you know.
I feel like, Bob, it depends on what era you grow up in. You know, and I think so many of the young people that are in their 20s, even 30s, are going to say, hey, LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. And people my age are probably going to go more with Jordan. Where do people your age go with? Because you've seen them.
I think you're leaning more. They're still leaning Michael. I think it's my, you know, we're leaning Michael. And remember, there's no what I call yeah, but factor. Michael has no yeah, but factor. The fact the yeah, but factor is what happens if he doesn't play baseball?
That's right.
They might have won. I mean, they won. All right. I'll stay categorically. They're winning 8 in a row.
Nobody's beating them. Bob, there's no way anybody's beating them.
The Rockets aren't winning against them. Sorry. Right. No. And so he's going to win 8 in a row, which puts him in the Russell category in a different, you know, a much different scenario. Russell, in the beginning, they had 2 series to win.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was when Bill Russell won his first championship, it was an 8-team league. Didn't go west of St. Louis.
Yeah,
they were in St. Louis. They beat St. Louis. You know, they were had that team relocated from Milwaukee, in case anybody wants to know. That's how the Hawks.
They're so different. That's the hardest part when you look at Michael Jordan and LeBron is their games are so different that it kind of depends on what you value more, right? I mean, I love LeBron for the fact of the way he plays the game and the way he thinks the game and can impact the game. Like every time, even if he's not making shots, he's going to have a huge, huge impact on the game because he can make people better. With Michael, let's face it, it was more about scoring the basketball.
Michael was a scorer who could pass. LeBron is a passer who can score.
Correct.
And so when you're a passer first, which Larry always was, I don't care how many points Larry scored, he was a passer first. I saw it my own eyes. I saw the contagion. There were nights when they moved the basketball, guys were doing stuff they never dreamed of doing. When they played with Bird at times, you know, when things were going just right. And I'm sure that was true with Magic too. But Michael, that wasn't part of Michael's game. It was never part of Michael's game to do that for people, you know? No. Michael was a ruthless, give me the ball. And he's still, the difference is, you know, and I keep saying the difference in their temperaments and how they got where they were to the peak of their profession. Michael, when he learned how to share, except the fact that there are 4 other guys, and some of them actually might be able to help you every now and then, because the 1987 Michael is not passing to Steve Kerr.
Right.
He's not passing to John Paxson, as he did later on to win championships. And the flip side, of course, is LeBron. He's too nice, too facility oriented. and until he finally recognized that he had needed to take responsibility of being the best player on the floor and knowing how. But it's a tough calibration when your natural instinct is to share and you got to take over. I mean, if you always dropped in from Uranus and watch him now, you wouldn't see how the transformation has been made. That he's so different than he was in 2011.
Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. Game spreads, totals, to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures today. Head up to BetOnline online today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What did you think of our boy Kyrie's comments about now he's finally got somebody in Kevin Durant that also, I'll set it up for those who don't know. He was on a podcast with Kevin Durant, his teammate with the Nets, and basically took a shot at LeBron by saying now he's finally got a guy in Kevin Durant that he feels like can take the final shot. That's as adept at taking the final shot as he is, basically saying that he always felt like in his career with every team he's been on that he's been the guy, the best number one option to take the final shot.
Including Cleveland. Yes. And he did make the most celebrated game-winning shot of the decade, if maybe in finals history, because we haven't had that many finals games, championship, settling games. Final, when you're going to hoist a trophy when the game's over games that have been won at the buzzer. No.
How do you say it, Bob? I get it. Listen, but I would rather Kyrie probably shooting a three than LeBron shooting a three. But I'd rather have the ball in LeBron James's hands than Kyrie's hands at the end of a game. Like, and how are you that dumb to say it right now? Like, why?
Because some people are who they are, and it's pretty apparent they're not going to change. I won't mention any names in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Yeah. And Kyrie Irving is incorrigible. He still thinks he's smarter than he is. Yep. I my triple theory on him. One, he thinks he's smarter than he is. Two, he's searching for something in life and doesn't know what it is. Or else he'd still be in Cleveland, I think. And three, this won't be his final stop. Everywhere he goes, when he leaves, what do they say? We couldn't figure that guy out.
Now, Kevin Durant, it's going to be interesting,
Steve,
Bob.
It's going to
be
interesting. You got Steve Nash. She's all yours. Fine. All yours.
Hey, how many more gray hairs is Steve Nash going to have after next season?
He's all yours.
Right?
Doc
Rivers. Doc Rivers in Philadelphia. Like it, love it, hate it.
Like it for two reasons. Okay. One, I got to root against him. I could root for the Clippers, and if the Celtics ever played the Clippers in the finals, okay, but Philly, I can't root for him now,
I love it.
So far as to say we're friends.
I love it, Bob. I love it because now we see him more. It gives you Philly rivalry.
I mean, there's history. There's too much history, I wouldn't want to mess with that team. I don't want to mess with the Simmons. Now, we don't know what we don't know what Elton Brand told him about. Oh, I'm going to trade Embiid. I'm going to trade Simmons or what? I don't know. But I just think that they're – let somebody else forward it. I see he's quoted. I haven't talked to him. I've texted him kiddingly about a couple of things, but I haven't talked to him specifically about, the personnel. I see him quoted as saying, oh, look at the personnel on that team, I beyond Embiid and Simmons.
Tobias is a good player. Is a nice player.
Harris is he's a good player. But I mean it's not like I don't know. Anyway, it's so fast, Oh my God. And didn't waste any time, did he? I think it would have been great for I would think, hey, he takes a year off, play some golf. Waits till a better job comes along. He surely will be in the mix of any opening that would come along in the next year. But hey, I guess he's just got the bug, huh? Must have the bug, the coaching. You know, I'm the guy that tells what time the bus leaves bug, and I call it, and he's got the bug.
Here's what I would say to it, to me, is there's very few that are better at handling people than Doc. So I do think Doc can go in and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, think about it. When they came on board, it was tanking. Brett Brown really had no chance. Now they've got a clean slate with Doc. He comes in, former NBA player. He's won a championship. They know who he is. He can deal with people. If there's anybody that can figure Ben and Joel out and get them to play together, it is Doc Rivers. Now, I'm really interested to see how Doc handles Ben and shooting the three. Does he do what everybody else has been imploring Ben Simmons to do for the last few years, which is we want you to shoot three threes a game, and if you don't, you're not playing the next game. Like, you're not playing the next game. Does Doc do that because understanding that that's the only way the Sixers are going to be able to maximize their talent and their ability? They've got four good players. The question is, again, can you figure out how to put all the pieces together? Or if you're Elton Brand, do you work with Doc and figure out how you move one of these guys and who do you move? Do you move Embiid? Do you move Simmons? My bigger question is always Embiid's health. Does that hold up?
Yeah, that's always a big one. And then there's the Simmons and the three-point thing. I mean, do we just accept him for what he is and you have to work around it?
No. You have to try to get Ben Simmons to eventually be comfortable shooting the three and being that if you Rondo him, if you're playing him like you play Rondo, he's got to shoot the basketball and make him pay.
Well, I agree. And I don't understand how he's been allowed to get this far as a professional.
That's Brett Brown's
after ball. The first year, I was kidding. We saying lock him in the gym for 3 hours a day all summer. Remember when we had summer? Yep. Remember that? It was the off season, the old days. And, you know, and that's that. And it was never done. And he didn't do it. And, you know, it was such a big joke. It was a big joke when he finally made a three. You know, that's ridiculous. And, you know, I hate the three, but it's part of the game. It's that, you know, I'd get away with it. I'd let him, you know, get rid of it tomorrow. But, all right, that's not the way the game's played. I understand that. And certainly he's going against the grain. Well, anyway, I'm happy. Look, I'm always happy for it. Doc is such a I'm glad he's closer. I'll see him more often. You know, that's fine.
You'll see him a lot now.
You know, I just can't believe he's coaching the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, well, like you said, you just can't believe how quickly everything happened because we didn't expect him to get fired, number one. No. And then he lands on his feet so quickly for a team that honestly is as talented as most in the NBA, maybe not they're right there.
He obviously thinks so. I mean, he's quoted as saying, I look at the talent. How could you not want that job? So there it is. And,
Doc's dealt with headaches before. Yeah. I mean, think about it.
Nobody's going to drive him crazy. That's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Even maybe Kyrie would be the exception to all rules, you know, but other than that, I don't know anybody else that would drive him. He's going to be fine. He'll deal with the temperaments and all that. Yeah.
And it's funny. I mean, I know Joel and Ben, both of them fairly well. I mean, from college and even from AAU ball for Ben. Yeah. They're both, each to their own. They're both good kids. They're just so different in their personalities that I think that, and again, we've talked about this in the show a little bit. When Joel came in, he made his own rules. He was allowed to make his own rules because of the injuries, because he was kind of the franchise, because he had that big personality and he produced when he was on the court. It was kind of Joel's rules. And then when Ben came in, again, his personality's polar opposite, you know, and he didn't like the fact that Joel had his own rules.
I'm told that I'll put the three-point thing on the side for a moment. That he is a hard worker, that he's a good practice player, you know, and all those things that coaches generally value, he's got that. We just have that odd quirk that, you know, that makes him different than everybody else in the league. And, you know, particularly at his position. So, you know, and as, oh, by the way, you know, the position because we're in a positionless basketball. We are so deep into it. Really, you know, we are. I mean, if he's was he really a forward? You know, I don't know. Does it matter to how we can label these guys any longer?
Not anymore.
No. Look at we go back to the game last night. Dwight Howard started and played 8 minutes. So basically, you know, and Davis, he's a big. He's not a forward. He's a five. He's a four and a half. He's a five. You know, nope. He's a big. Correct. And that's what we are. And Brad Stevens articulated it last year. You got bigs, wings, and ball handlers.
Yep.
That's basketball now. Bigs, wings, and ball handlers.
I remember saying 10 years ago, Bob, I was on Jim Rome's TV show. And I wish I could find the clip. I can't. I probably could if I really worked on it. But my quote on that show, I remember it well, was the only way Dwight Howard ever wins an NBA title is if he plays with LeBron James.
Oh!
And I never thought he'd play with LeBron.
No.
Like, I never thought he'd win an NBA title. I never thought he'd play with LeBron. And here we are. Dwight Howard is going to get a title. You know,
and it's the perfect. You know, he finally found the perfect spot at this juncture in his career where he isn't the man. He gives him – he's a role player.
Yeah.
He's a role player without pressure, you know. And he's been an asset. I understand the value he brings to the team. We've seen it in games in the playoffs. So, you know, but I mean, you know, he's my least favorite player in the league since Chris Webber retired.
Wait,
you know, so
Kyrie didn't pass him.
Well, he's
tie,
my least favorite,
isn't it?
Personality, not player.
Okay.
Difference on the court. You know, I got no problem with Kyrie, right. Particularly. It's you know, it's the mind
between the ears.
But Dwight Howard just drove me crazy. I'm sorry.
What else you got going on now, Bob? Any things going on in your life that we need to know about these days?
Well, in terms of baseball, stay tuned. I'm working on trying to get a book proposal together that has to do with baseball.
Really?
So, yeah. But I can't spill the beans yet. But Okay. Other than that, I'm just, you know, just following the news, you know, and watching these games, and that's it. Of course, we just got news today about Stephon Gilmore test positive for the Patriots. That whole situation is unraveling as we speak. By the way, I just learned something before we got together, and I love this stuff. And it just—are you aware what happened at the what Tyler Hero did last night?
Yeah, with the spread.
It was a spread busting three at the end.
Oh, I'm aware.
A lot of money was at stake with that three. It was 7.5. And it went from 9-6 and a hat beat.
And a lot of people.
I laugh. I don't gamble. And that is precisely the reason why I don't fool around with basketball. Yeah. That
You're
is
a smart
precisely
man.
The reason.
Right. You know? No. And again.
But it was a spread buster.
incredible. Are you watching? So you're watching the baseball playoffs.
I'm trying, you know, but it's. There's so much going on. Yeah, I am catching up. I watched some of it yesterday. I will be able to check in today because trying to find one of the games sometimes, you know, on which channel it's on. So it's like trying to find True Network during the NCAA tournament, you know.
True TV.
Yeah,
True TV is not easy to find.
No. Want to salute the Seattle Storm and winning their fourth championship and Breanna Stewart, who missed all of last year, and comes back and gets herself the MVP. Look, I don't know how much you follow women, you know, but I of all those Connecticut, that endless parade of great Connecticut players,
I
think she may be the best.
I always thought Diana Taurasi was going to – like, I always watched Diana Taurasi and was just so amazed and thought, like, I could watch her play all day, every day. Like,
she's tough. She's tough. She's the Michael Jordan tough of mental – you know, exactly. of toughness. I think that's the analogy I would kind of make for her. But talent-wise, Stewart may be the best of them all. And how about Sue Bird, who turns 40 on October 11th and coming off the 16-assist game on game three. And she missed a lot, you know, both, you know, she missed a lot of the year with injuries. She's obviously, I got to salute them.
So you're not saluting Hoyer or Stidham on the way out?
What Hoyer did. Now Stidham, you know, Julian Edelman didn't do him any favors with that.
Right. Oh, that was terrible.
That was just so awful. But what Hoyer did is literally, now we use this word, there are certain words that get abused, you know, literally unforgivable. No veteran You cannot forgive a veteran. If a high school kid did that, the coach would be going crazy on the sideline. Taking a sack and that, and then not knowing you didn't have a timeout.
Incredible. Incredible.
At that moment?
I can't believe, honestly, Bob, I can't believe Bill Belichick didn't cut him the next day. Like, that's the biggest surprise to me. After you do that type of brain fart and you have no feel for what's going on in the game. Like, if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm saying, like, I can't trust you. I don't care. You're done. You're done.
Isn't veteran savvy the reason why he was given the start anyway over the kid?
Yes.
I mean, you can
now
trust
you gotta
him.
Go him.
You can trust him to, you know, to get manage the game and whether a little bit. Ah! Yeah, that
so
was a winnable
going
game.
On. So much going on. We'll have one more wrap up NBA regular
for sure
in season podcast, and then we move to off season mode.
Move to college, and I know you're all over the schedule. I know you're all over schedule. You're Mr. Schedule.
Listen, Bob, it changes by the hour. So whatever I put out there, don't put it in with ink. Make sure you put it in there with pencil, because I'm actually right now. I'm going through and I've got this master schedule of all the exempt events, the multi-team events. And I'm going to put it out probably later today or tomorrow. But as soon as I put the thing out, other teams are going to bail on certain events, join another one. You know, there's just so many moving parts right now with all the college basketball scheduling. So I'm just hoping we get to November 25th, college hoop starts, they play 20 games, and we have something else to talk about rather than just off season.
Well, Michael, you know, I remain stagnant. I did not increase my total of gyms. It stays holding at 201, and I will definitely improve it this year.
You have to make a list. Like I said, you have to make a list. Is there anything in New England that you haven't been to that we could?
And not in Division One. I've been to every Division One. So there's plenty of opportunities, even locally, you know, Division III.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, where else can we go? You and I go on a trip for a couple games and bang out
assuming
a couple
we can,
of them that
you
haven't seen.
Assuming that we'll be allowed in the building.
Exactly. That's the key. That's the key.
No, in Division I, I've got them all. And, you know, I did them all back in 2011-12 when I talked the Globe into letting me go to them all that year to write a diary of the season by going to all the 21 Division
I. Write down the biggest ones that you have not been to.
I will.
Give me the top 10 college basketball arenas that you have. I know Gonzaga is on that list.
I'll tell you what's number one.
Go ahead.
It's Gallagher-Iba Arena.
Ah, great spot.
Yeah,
and this is the year. Listen, this is the year because they've got the number one player freshman in the country in Cade Cunningham. So we should try to make that happen if we can.
Well, let's hope. I won't be going anywhere until after the first of the year. I'm sure I got. So let's hope. Let's hope. All right.
Listen.
Very good.
We'll talk soon after we have an NBA champion on our next podcast.